ngicela uhambe uyofuna umsebenzi.
Uzoyithola kanjani hlelo khoneni?
Yonke into, impahla, imali.
This adulting thing, hey.
Ukuhamba imali.
Wizi naga ithoka challenge.
Awuna moto, imali. Kufanele kube nemali phakathi.
Sebenza.
Sebenza. Sebenza.
Yeva mntanam.
Sebenza.
Welcome back to another Sebenza Live podcast here with Ntokozo and Tango on Behind the Hustle. Hope you guys have been well. How are you doing, Ntokozo?
I'm good. Thanks, Nisal.
I'm great. I'm really excited about today's topic. We're going into education.
Yeah.
And we're joined by Corin Verity, and he is from Idea Digital. Corin, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me.
Oh, anytime. Let's jump into, before we go into our today's topic, let's go into who is Corin and where are you from?
I'm originally Australian, but I'm a very, very proud, honorary South African these days.
And what was your upbringing like?
Look, I know my upbringing was extremely privileged because my parents, my father was a refugee. My mother came from a very small rural town in New Zealand, and both of them met while in the education space. Actually, my father was my mother's professor, and they met and drove education to be able to give me the life that I have been able to have. So I've been able to travel the world and see different education systems. I've been able to pursue a lot of my own education up to doctoral level because of what they were able to give me. And so, you know, on a personal level, that's what drives me every day in why I pursued education and why I stay in education and why, I guess, when people ask me the question, what will you do in your next life? I say to them, well, is there anything other than education? It's just I know what it unlocks for people. And I always say to people, and to think of it this way, that education is really the only thing we can give another human being that we can never, ever take back. It is something that is permanent. And I think that's a really important message as we're going through all of these sort of challenges and obstacles and experiments in South Africa.
And it's a global problem, especially now when we look at South Africa as well. But how did you come across starting Idea Digital?
So my background was in bricks and mortar schools. So we worked up in East Africa, and we used to build low-income private schools. We would recruit teachers from all across Africa. So I'd have Rwandan, Kenyan, Nigerian teachers all working in our schools across Tanzania, Uganda. And the model for me was, well, that's really great, but does Africa need more school buildings? Does it need more schools? Or do we need to be looking at how do we transform what's actually happening in those schools? So my journey over the last 16 years was in starting for the first decade in how do I actually build schools? So, you know, bricks and mortar construction. Then we ended up moving into northern Uganda during the conflict between the Ugandan Defense Force and the Lord's Resistance Army. And we were educating child soldiers. So we would rehabilitate children who would leave the rebel groups, and we would put them back into education, leadership and sports programs to try to help the society to see what happens in a generation post-conflict. And conflict needs to be thought about in terms of war, but it also needs to be thought about in terms of any form of struggle. Because in every, you know, country across this continent, we are essentially in post-conflict development environments trying to grapple with how do we, you know, introduce democratic education systems. So when we were looking at what is it that we are getting right, obviously there's a special ingredient in what we were doing with our students given their results. We realized that it was the access to really high quality resources and the training of students so that they understood what it meant to be a self-directed learner. And we saw the increase in technology that was happening, hardware everywhere, but it wasn't transforming education. So that's where we really applied our minds to saying, how do we take a traditional but very positive education system and supplant that in digital so that we can scalably deliver this to more students and have a greater impact? And so 5 years ago, we did that, looking at how do we take our curriculum that we were using across Africa and implement it as a digital solution so that we can really say to ourselves when we look in the mirror and say we're delivering a democratic, high-quality education to students, no matter what background, no discrimination, no prejudice. When you come to IDEA, you will get a top-quality education for a very low cost.
That's beautiful. I mean, and I'm thinking now it's already hard and I'm also speaking from a point of some kind of a privilege where I'm constantly lax towards education. And I can't imagine the work that must have gone into getting someone who is in a political situation where they're not able to access education, especially the kind that you're offering. What was that like?
Yeah, so it was an extraordinary journey. And I always say to people when they say, especially having worked with the child soldiers of Uganda, you know, they say to me, but that must have been really difficult. And I said, but it's not my story, right? I mean, I haven't had to go through that struggle. I'm part of a door opener, right? In some unsophisticated terms, I'm there to open the door. The reality is the students have to walk through it. Now, when you add in your political instability, socioeconomic inequality, gender inequality, and then you also add in that these children, most of them are coming from parents who, for no fault of their own, have had no education themselves, so functionally illiterate, and desperately want to support their children. But the system is not such that if you've had all of those challenges, that you can turn around and say, well, I know what it means to have a quality education. To you, attending school, and to many of these parents, just mere attendance is a box tick to say, I've done the right thing by my child. But what we saw was that we may have 100% attendance rate and still be struggling with 10 to 15% pass rate. Well, how do we reconcile those two and still tell ourselves that we are working towards free and democratic education? We simply can't. So our journey is about how do we facilitate the door opening and how do we ensure that there is an awareness of parents and students and teachers, for that matter, that really understand what a quality education is and not just access to an education, full stop.
Now, when you look at South Africa, it's not quite, it's not too unique to a lot of what we experience in the continent, but it's a quite different situation, whereas education is extremely accessible. But would you say that, rather my question is, how was IDEA Digital and sort of the edtech that you bring here, how was the relationship with that here in South Africa to what the service you're offering?
Yeah, you know, I'd agree with you. I think that there's a lot that's happens in statistics in South Africa more so than in other countries that bring us down or put us down. You know, we have to admit that there are challenges in education in South Africa, but actually South Africa, of all the countries on this continent, has a greater opportunity. We have greater funding, we have greater access to resources, and we've got a more globalized market, labor and education. So there's no reason we can't achieve the sorts of results that we imagine. It's just that I think we spend a lot of time in the problem-finding space and not in the problem-solving space. And that can be political and social reasons behind that. So what we're trying to do is say, okay, within the history of the last 25 years of trying to find a way to reach as many students as possible, what may have happened is that we have just provided greater access. And so a part of what IDEA is trying to experiment with is to say we actually need to have access, but we need to be driving outcomes. Because if we're going to really pat ourselves on the back as a society and as a company, we want to see that students are more globally competitive, more competitive on the African continent, and more competitive in their own national boundaries to be able to get jobs and to be self-sufficient. So we're looking at how do we drive, using IDEA, how do we drive access to quality resources, but how do we make sure that those resources really do drive an outcome at the end of the day that meets national policy requirements, but that ultimately meets the individual requirements of our learners. Because, you know, I think a lot of it is that we look at band-aid solutions or symptoms that occur in our society. There's a whole lot of challenges. You know, and our recent Gauteng experience has shown us what can happen as a result of that. But that's not at the core of the problem. The core of the problem is we are not driving a globally competitive education for students in South Africa, even though we have the opportunity to do so. So we focus on content mastery, on personalization of learning, on trying to help our teachers and support our teachers to be able to teach better, but also support their learners in a totally different world. Because that world that we're in at the moment, this whole fourth industrial revolution, is a buzzword, but the reality is we actually do exist as South Africa in a broader global digital economy, and we need to make sure that our students are ready for that. And education is literally the only thing we need to do. Job creation can come later. You know, we need to make sure our students are educated and job ready first.
Do you feel that we're getting to a space now where we, our students are becoming job ready?
Yeah.
I think that we have a president who has shown us the commitment to joining the global community. We have a president who is showing us that policy is moving and going to move in the direction of accepting that we have challenges, but we're trying to find solutions. I mean, you know, his SONA address in February gave me goosebumps, because we finally see a president, you know, there's going to be deployment issues and implementation issues, but we see a president who's saying we need to increase the integration of technology into our education system, because fundamentally nothing we've done until now has helped us. So we can sit there and keep being worried about technology, but or we can try and get it right using technology, because for him and the department, that is going to be a key to how we enter the 21st century, let alone the fact that we're actually sitting in the 21st century. So I do think there's a lot of hope and optimism that should be put where we are in South Africa. I think that some of our neighboring partners like Kenya and Rwanda are shooting ahead, because they've spent a lot of time learning the problems with their own systems, and they're depoliticizing some of it. So I do think that we need to get to a place where, no matter what's going on with the noise around the political partisan issues in South Africa, we need to accept that education should never become one of them, because that means that we go through another generation or two generations where we have greater unemployment, or we don't have job-ready students. But I do think we should be optimistic, because always focusing on that, you know, 7 or 8 South Africans out of 10 can't read and write is not a fair statistic. It's a propaganda statistic. What we need to be looking at is that we do have some low-hanging fruit where we're seeing extraordinary results, where we are improving. What we need to do is look at those as models and try and work out how do we take that across the country. I think there are provinces that are doing better than others, but I do think that we're all starting to learn. And now finally, policy is aligned to wanting to see South Africa be a part of the 21st century. So we should really be saying that's an amazing thing, and let's support our president and support the department to deliver those results in a more meaningful way.
I love that you mentioned the depoliticizing education, especially now with such a heated time we're in, especially with the xenophobic attacks we've faced before and the looting we've seen. Do you feel that depoliticizing education can bring about students who can solve these kind of issues?
Yeah, absolutely. And in its own irony, right, a better education system helps us to depoliticize it. So in my mind, a more educated, more highly skilled individual not only makes better decisions in their own life, but makes better collective decisions, because we have a more educated voter, we have a more educated dialogue. And so some of the noise that is created, not just in South Africa, it's a global issue around noise. And I think, you know, the current US is a perfect example of that as well. We need to be making sure that no matter where your partisan loyalties lie, you are holding leaders to account. And so actually a more educated workforce is not just going to benefit us in terms of economic growth. More educated workforce and a student body is going to ensure that we have greater accountability at all levels of industry and public sector. So I really think that we need to ensure that policy continues to improve education, but we must make sure in private sector and as individuals, we adhere to that and we make sure that we're looking for a better education for students, because actually all aspects of society will improve. I also think that the pressure that's coming at the moment, whether it's xenophobia, which a lot of what happened in Johannesburg, I think the momentum built because we have very disenfranchised youth. You know, violence as a message should be, you know, that it is not tolerated. But we need to be looking at greater root causes of these issues around being an 18-year-old South African with a low education and a low entry into the labor market. We need to be looking at that and say, how do we fix that? Again, it comes back to education. If we start looking at how do we make sure our youth have more skills that make them employable and more skills that make them allow them to make better decisions, then actually, you know, it's easy to depoliticize education. But it does have to come from the top. I do think that the president has sort of said that. I just think that we need to rally behind that message and ensure that he has the space to be able to create it, because otherwise we're going to end up in a position where we have these wonderful policies that are not being executed. And that is a reality of South Africa. That is a reality globally. Progressive policy, but poor execution, because we spend so much time trying to debate issues and not try and really use it for problem solving.
Do you feel perhaps there's also a comprehension problem with not understanding just not only the policies but the constitution itself?
Yeah.
Yes, because, and I tell you why I think that as an honorary South African is because I say to people, you know, when I was young, and I remember going and in primary school at show and tell, and we had to tell everybody who we wanted to be when we grew up. You know, for me, Madiba was my hero. And that's in Australia in the, you know, early 90s. So I have always respected enormously the constitutional democracy that South Africa represents. I think that people forget sometimes that in all of these issues that we're having, it is ultimately coming about because we're a constitutional democracy, which means there are, you know, opinions, there are free execution to protest and to be discontented. But, you know, I think the issue is that people need to know what the responsibilities are of being a constitutional democracy, which is being a better informed voter, which means holding leaders to account. Because in a lot of countries that we work and deal with, there isn't the same level of democracy and a constitutional system that is there to support people. And they always tell me just how amazing South Africa is because of that. But we have to make sure that that doesn't sit in theory and actually does get executed in practice. And the only way that happens is not by sitting and waiting for our politicians to execute it, but by making sure our population understands and wants to execute it themselves.
Now, how can more people get involved with Idea Digital?
Yeah.
So we have to date really focused on working with government and ensuring that we can deliver our content and products to government schools, because that's been our first port of call where we saw a sort of urgent requirement. And so we've done that provinces and working with the National Department of Basic Education to do that. Now, our next step is that, and this is happening in October, on the 24th of October, we are launching our solution direct to parents for them to be able to low-cost purchase to help their children. So it's really now about engaging with what do we have? What are some of the challenges that you're facing with your children? And I could tell you 99% of them are going to be the same things we see time and time again. We need to ensure that your children have a foundation of content knowledge, because all of the problem solving, critical thinking, creative thinking, all of those really wonderful things that we're pushing as a society can't occur if your child cannot call on a repository of knowledge and skills and their ability to read for meaning, not just read, you know, phonics. They need to be looking at how do they synthesize mathematical equations and not just how do they add two numbers or rote learn that. So I think a big part of what parents can do to get more involved is visit ideaonline.com. But come October, use as an experiment and say, you know what, I'm going to get this product. We're offering across the country a free diagnostic assessment ahead of our end of year assessments that are coming up for all students. And we're saying, log in, use the assessment, get your report, see where you stand in terms of where should you be at a grade level. Do that all for free. And then come back to us and use some of our products, particularly in the lead up to your assessments, to see how you can improve your results. Because even though we'd like to say that the education system is not simply about assessment, and I'd agree with that, we have to go through these milestones of ensuring that students are reaching certain benchmarks in the education sector. And so we want to really help them to do that because it builds self-esteem, it builds competence, and it also builds their comparative success, to other students in South Africa and to other students globally. So visit ideaonline.com in October, and you know, we're looking forward to taking students on that journey with us.
All right. Corin, I think that was all from our side. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge with us. Is there any social media actually they can follow besides the website?
Yes, so we're on Explore My Idea, both on Twitter and Facebook. And if you follow, you'll see we do a lot of interviews and we have a lot of the latest research that's showing how digital will positively influence your child's education and not just, that you need to be concerned about screen time. At the end of the day, digital education is not social media. We are providing an education tool to help your students get more proficient in their content areas. So please check us out on Facebook and Twitter, and drop us a line on ideaonline.com if you have any queries.
Nice. Perfect. All right. Thanks so much, Corin, again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.